From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
My friend John Beer is one of the most entrepreneurial people I know. He's got a thriving PR company called Jack Taylor PR, a whiskey company, a whole bunch of other companies, and you may have seen him on TV recently because he got a lot of press after buying a ghost town.
For a price tag of $1.4 million, business partners John Beer and Brent Underwood bought Cerro Gordo, an old mining town.
And so I was really surprised when John told me that he had had this very old idea of the kind of people that he should hire.
I always thought, well, no, you never hire an entrepreneur.
By which he means that he doesn't want to hire someone on staff that's going to have all these side hustles and big ideas and stuff that's just not related to the work that he hired them to do. That's how he thought, and that's how many, I would probably argue most, corporations think. They are discouraging of side projects. But John went through a mental transformation on this just around the same time that I happened to write about it for Entrepreneur Magazine, because I feel very, very passionately that, in fact, the greatest employees that you could have are entrepreneurs, are people with side hustles. And in fact, John now agrees with me.
You think automatically that it takes something away from you, when in reality, especially if you trust your team and you treat your team right, it actually adds to you.
And so when John read my column, he then sent it around to his staff, along with a message about how important it is to embrace those side hustles and embrace those ambitions. I am so, so thankful that he did that. So I want to try to spark that in more places. I want to have this conversation as often as possible. I want to reach as many ears as possible and show people that your best employees are the ones with side hustles. So today on this episode of Problem Solvers, I am going to read that column that I wrote, and then John and I are going to have a conversation about how he turned around on this issue and came to embrace the entrepreneurs on his team. So we're going to get into all of that right after the break. Last year, as my wife and I were preparing to market a novel we wrote called Mr. Nice Guy, we were looking for any way to gain an extra edge. And through a professional connection I'd made, I got put in touch with Zippy Content, a company that specializes in booking its clients on podcasts. Zippy essentially creates a podcast tour for its clients, booking interviews in as little as 24 hours so that an author, entrepreneur, or whoever can reach their ideal audience, generate high-quality leads, increase their SEO, and more. And so my wife and I said, sure, let's give it a whirl. And I have to say, Zippy was really great. They learned about us and our business goals, then booked a ton of interviews on shows that matched the audiences we were looking for. If you're looking for more buzz for your business, check Zippy Content out. Just go to zippycontent.com. All right, we're back. So before anything else, I want to make my argument to you. I'm going to read this column. I wrote it and it ran in the January-February 2019 issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, and here it goes. People often tell me how their entrepreneurship journey began, and it regularly starts like this. I was working at insert big company here, and they disapproved of my side hustle, so I quit. And then the person's side hustle became a full hustle, and now they're more satisfied and maybe even making more money than they ever were before. I heard this just last night, in fact, before writing this column. A woman told me about working at a big bank and leaving when her superiors gave her a hard time about a financial literacy program she'd started on the side. What a stupid bank. What a big, dumb, stupid, short-sighted, stuck in the past, shooting itself in the foot, unable to retain its top talent, dedicated to mediocrity bank. This woman's program is now thriving, and her former employer doesn't have access to her, her ideas, her energy, or her drive. The bank seems intent on limiting itself to employees who don't think big and who don't reach beyond their boundaries. This bank seems to think that it should be the only opportunity available to its employees, as if it alone can inspire people to infinite greatness. That's implausible. No, impossible. The bank blew it because, like so many employers, it could not understand the limitless capacity of people who think big. I'm here right now to offer a different theory. It goes like this. There is a word for someone who is always discovering and creating and building, and that word is entrepreneur. An entrepreneur doesn't have to own a company. It's simply someone who lives entrepreneurship as an ethos and a mindset. An entrepreneur inspires others. An entrepreneur works at 150% capacity, and if they're on your team and afforded the freedom to thrive, they'll give you 100% and keep 50% for themselves. If you are an employer, seek out and embrace those people because they are your future. And if you're one of those people, you should refuse to be contained. I believe this strongly because I see it all the time. It's my personal story. I am where I am because I side hustled throughout every job I've ever had, including this one now. During my first gig at a local newspaper, I even wrote a piece for a large publication about how terrible it was to work in local news because I knew my sleepy boss would never see it. That was reckless and I wouldn't advise it, but hey, I did get away with it. It's also the story of many people at Entrepreneur who juggle their work here with other passions and projects, and it's something I'm increasingly hearing from executives at huge companies. One such exec who works at an international technology firm recently asked if I'd come inspire its young staff because, in her words, quote, corporate life is beating the entrepreneurship out of them, end quote. That tech exec gets it. There's a counterintuitive logic at play. Flexibility is a retention strategy. A company's best people, its entrepreneurial minds, are going to feel itchy. They'll always want to do more, to create things for themselves, and to leave no good idea unexplored. If a company won't give them that room to thrive, they'll leave. If the company supports them, then they'll stick around for longer, solve problems more creatively, and provide value for everyone. We're beginning a new year, which is always a good time to assess how far we've come and where we're going next. And so, as we stare out upon the blue sky of 2019, here's my message to everyone feeling that itch. Do not let someone tell you no. Do not march in time. Do not settle for it's either this or that. You and I and everyone bold enough to call themselves entrepreneurs knows that life is fuller than those two options. Life isn't this or that. It's both. It's all. Or at least it's this, which I have chosen. We've entered a new year. There is so much left to do. We will not be told otherwise. All right, so that's the column. And now I want to turn to a conversation with my friend John Beer, owner of Jack Taylor PR, a ghost town, as you heard at the beginning, among many other things. And the reason I'm talking to John again is because John has made a turnaround on this very issue. He is an employer who used to think that employing entrepreneurial people was not so good for him, and now he thinks otherwise. And this transformation really began when he had to face this question for the first time, which was when he was alerted to the fact that an employee of his has a side hustle, which he didn't know about, and he wasn't sure how he originally felt.
And so my first instinct was actually to be upset by that. You know, like that was just like, wait a minute, she has a job here. Why is she having this other job? And then, you know, I marinated on it for a little bit, and I thought the same thing that, you know, that you wrote, that this is the only way to keep good people, and that the only way that you can, you know, keep an entrepreneur is allow them to be entrepreneurs. And also, like, business begets business. The more you do, the more you can do, the more experience you have, the more contacts you have, and that, you know, like that way of looking at things of just like, if you work for me, you work for me, is so old school.
Tell me what you did with Raven. So did you go and tell her anything?
I talked to her about it a little bit, but I didn't, you know, I didn't like pry too much into it. And then this was not that long ago, by the way. And then I read your article and it just summarized exactly what I was thinking. And it seemed like this like new bold like idea when really it's just the only choice.
Yeah.
It's not a new idea. It's a big idea because it's not common, but it's your only way to actually keep the people that you want to keep like that. And by the way, if the business grows, if their side, let's say Raven's side hustle grows into something that she can do full time and that it becomes more lucrative and more, you know, in her best interest to do that full time, well, what better way is there for a person to leave your company than that?
Yeah, that's right. She's not going to one of your competitors.
No, she's going to do something that is like her dream and her passion that she's been able to build while working really hard for me and with me. And that's dope. You know, and I want to support that.
She could become a client of yours.
Of course. And so after I read your article, I sent it to everybody on my team. And I say, you know, I love this from Jason. And, you know, just so you know, and I know some of you have side gigs already. And just so you know that, like, I want you guys to work your asses off for me. And I want you to want to. But we have amongst us a skill set that we can help with almost any business that you guys are running. So if you do have these side hustles, let's meet on it and let's see like how the brain trust in Jack Taylor can help you actually build that business and, you know, like solve any problems that you might have. I don't want all of your time. I can't have all of your time even if I wanted it. I want you to be really, really happy and functional at work and to do the things that you want to do in life, because like big picture, man, we got a limited amount of time on this planet. Most people don't stay at one company their entire career anyway. So like, let's work together and let's build something together and be, and like work on things that are meaningful to us. And if you have other things that are passionate, that you're passionate about, that, you know, you might have a regret if you don't pursue, or it's calling to you in any way, you have to do it. And maybe we can help.
That's awesome. I'm so delighted that that column led to you sending that message. That is very gratifying. So let me ask you this. I am surprised that you had initially had a negative reaction towards people like you working for you, because when you look at you, there's a lot of layers to this question. When you look at you, you must see someone who is fueled by side projects, right? Like Jack Taylor PR is only one of many things that you do. And you've told me you wouldn't be as happy doing it if you weren't doing all these other things as well. So why were you not seeing that in other people? Like, talk about your own experience. Like, how are you fueling yourself?
So I run, you know, a bunch of different businesses. As you know, I just bought a ghost town. I own a whiskey company. I teach at NYU. I own a photo studio. And I'm like, and I have capacity, by the way, for more businesses. But the way that I have capacity for all those businesses is that I'm a strategic and creative mind for everything that happens in all of those businesses. I am not the operator. All the people that work for all those businesses are extensions of me. And the only way that I can have them as extensions of me is if they aren't me, if they don't have the skill sets that I have, but they have complementary skill sets. And so that's usually what I look to hire. Where am I weakest? You know, I'm not really organized. I'm horrible. I don't miss deadlines because I have anxiety. And so things will poke in my brain. But like, if I don't have an operator that is really, really organized, and usually, by the way, those operators don't have a creative bone. They're just not. Very rarely do you have people that have both sides. If they exist, and they're superhuman and they're amazing. But it's very, very rare. Most of my people that are super, super organized are not as strategically minded or as creative. And that's fine. That's why I always hire to my weaknesses.
So you were thinking, you don't want a bunch of yous because you see yourself as someone who has a very valuable, clearly, but limited skill set.
Totally. Very limited, very valuable. I mean, I basically do like one thing really, really well.
Yeah.
But I'm aware.
And your strength is that you've identified that.
Yes.
So you were thinking that if you've got these other people who are like you, then they too are limited in their capacity, or that they're possibly not going to be able to focus on operational stuff, on actually getting their stuff done, because they're too big of thinkers.
There's that, and then there's the idea of, you know, and it was a fear that I've changed my perspective on, where I put myself in their shoes, and my thinking is, you know, I will work for this person until I get everything that I need to get from them, value-wise, creatively, connections-wise. And then as soon as, you know, it makes sense for me to do my own thing, that's what I'm going to do. And I saw that as a weakness, and now I see it as a strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not, it's not like you don't get to keep people.
That's right.
You know, like you make them. And like, let's say my thinking, by the way, let's say it extends a staff member that would have been gone after 3 years, after 5 years, for 5 years, right? I get two more years out of them, and we end on these amazing terms, and they, instead of going to a competitor, you know, they go to and do their own thing. That's the biggest win that I can have.
That's right. Because you wouldn't have otherwise had, I mean, it's better to have 2 great years with someone who's going to bring amazing value to your company than to not have those 2 years at all.
Correct.
Final question here. What do you think it'll take to shift more employers to embracing this idea of their of flexibility as a retention strategy, that embracing employees' side hustles is a valuable thing?
I think, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, like this will happen organically because there is no choice. The world is getting more and more off grid. There's more and more possibilities for people to make livings doing things that they're interested in. And if you want to keep good people longer, you don't get to keep someone forever anyway, but if you want to keep good people longer, you have to incentivize them in a way that appeals to, you know, their purpose. And their purpose is not always your purpose. And that doesn't mean that they're bad employees. Oftentimes that means they're better employees. And you just, that shift needs to, well, it will happen organically because there's too much competition out there in the workplace.
Perfect. John Beer, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jason.
And there it is, getting employers to rethink who their superstars are, one employer at a time. Hopefully, this is just the start. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.